WIOX is supported by Pika Moose Restaurant on State Route 28 in Big Indian, with farm-to-table cuisine Thursday through Monday, indoor dining at a safe distance from 4 to 9 p.m., and patio-heated outdoor dining on the moonlit deck. Take out till 10, pikamoose.com or 845-254-6500, 845-254-6500. WIOX is supported by Home Goods of Margaretville, corner of Main and Bridge Streets in Margaretville, New York. Now carrying spices, flour, jams, mustards, coffee and tea, organic vegetables and fruits, and local eggs, milk, cheese, and baked goods. And, of course, cooking basics and tools of the trade for everyone at home. Home Goods of Margaretville. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 11 to 5, 845-586-4177 or hgom.net. WIOX is supported by Margaretville Hospital, a member of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, a critical access hospital offering comprehensive medical services, including emergency, cardiology, imaging, rehab, and a retail pharmacy. 845-586-1800.
Hi, this is Susan Shaw.
And I'm Alan Vella.
We go to New Orleans on All That Gumbo every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6.
And you are listening to WIOX Roxbury.
Live and local in New York's Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM, MTC Cable Channel 20, and WIOXRadio.org.
Okay, you are listening to WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and MTC Cable Channel 20, and at 107.5 FM on the campus of SUNY Delhi on smart devices through the Radio FM app and everywhere at WIOXRadio.org, where it's easy to donate. This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. John, do you think other devices are offended when we say this about smart devices?
Oh, I don't know.
Things to think about.
You know, the handheld CD player, the Walkman.
Yeah. AM radio.
Thing of the past.
Thing of the past. All right.
Well, not just the AM, but I mean the Walkman. You don't see people walking around with those anymore.
No. Well, I don't know. I got a CB radio. I guess that's a really stupid device, huh? Oh, well, I think it's still good. Anyway, John, what have you been up to?
Well, actually just finished stacking my firewood pile. I know I'm behind on that. It's all been cut and split for a long time. I just didn't have it all in a nice, neat stack yet. It was in a pile. Not all of it, half of it.
So now it's stacked.
Now it's looking good. I walk past it and smile, and it's just a good feeling. When
you do, you smile?
Yeah, you see a year's worth of wood right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fulfilling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's what I did this last weekend.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I got my wood stacked, but now I'm just stacking up on rounds or blocked up wood for, you know, 3 years from now. And I don't know what happened, but I just came into wood on my road, so looks like I'm going to have a lot. So that's good. Whatever. Yeah. And working on deer skins still. So I got two in the tan now that are finally been completely de-haired and fleshed and all that good stuff, and now they're finally in the tan, which is the clean part.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a part in there where I put it in chicken manure, and I have it underneath the deck, right?
Sure.
So I took it out of the stream after it was in lime and opened it up, put it in there, and all I hear from inside my house, Jesus, what's that smell? Oh, what do the kids go to the bathroom? This stuff's pretty bad.
Uh-oh.
But you put it in there for a couple days just to neutralize the alkaline solution before putting it in your acid solution, like tannin.
There's not a better way to do that.
There's not. Not for a homeowner, at least, and right. It works. Works great. It's but you have to be, you can't be queasy, you know, because it's milkshake substance of chicken crap.
All right.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. And it gets worse, you know. When it sits there, it's just terrible.
On a hot day like today.
And, you know, I had to carefully put it into my wheelbarrow because it's too heavy to pick up and drag. And you just got to be careful not to spill it either because, you know, pretty bad. So, yeah, that's what I was up to.
All right.
All right.
Well, after all this firewood, I decided I'm breaking up with ash.
Oh, yeah?
That's it. I don't know. I'm going to take a year off and try to do a whole year with no ash in the next pile.
Yeah.
It's been years, and it's too easy to come across because it's all dying, and it's always free and close to home, but I'm giving up. I'm breaking up.
Yeah, I got red oak and red maple.
Yeah,
a lot of red maple. Yeah, I like red maple. Dries really nice.
I need variety in my life.
Variety, that's right.
When I stacked this wood pile, I think it was 98% ash.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
Ash is okay. It's overrated. It's good, but it's not like, you know, it's not excellent like sugar maple or something.
Middle of the road, for sure.
It dries in a year, you know. But, well, every third Wednesday, we talk to Mr. Gary Mead, about a different forest-related topic. Tonight's topic is flowers from summer to fall. How's it going, Gary?
Good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're all right. You know, weather's pretty good. There's a lot of flowers out there. I've noticed around my yard, I took some photos of flowers. The azaleas are looking awesome. And across the road is a, not buckeye. I always confuse this. Horse chestnut. That thing was humming with bees.
Right.
They love those upright white flowers.
Yeah.
And we have American dogwood or flowering dogwood on the hedgerows that just grow wild in the area there.
We've had a banner year for flowers so far.
It's been great. It's
been amazing.
Apples in my area have already gone to seed. You can see the little fruit. You know, you can see the flowers are impregnated and they're growing. And the same thing with pears.
About peak here now for flowers.
Yeah.
I mean, all the,
yep.
And the trees are loaded. So, you know, it's, we'll see. As long as they don't have a weird, either too dry summer or too wet summer.
Well it's warm. Apples. It's warm right now, so you're hitting it just right. I don't know how many of mine got pollinated. I have to really go look because it was cool when the flowers were out down by me. And you don't get as much bee action. But a day like today, you know,
they're all
every bee and its brother is out pollinating right now. So,
yeah, and I, you know, I made dandelion wine this year for the first time, and I called Joe Hewitt to get some tips from him, and he said, just wait for a day when the bees are working them. And he said, so I, you know, I held off for a whole week because we had that 55, 60 degree days, and the bees weren't out working much. But we had a good hot day about a week ago, and I mean, they were swarming, and, you know, if I went to a flower and there was a bee on it, I skipped over it and let him have his flower.
Hey, John, remember we had Joe Hewitt on the radio show?
Yeah, we had him on
trapping.
Talking about trapping, right?
A few years back. He gets out, we're like, so what do you know about trapping? He goes, I haven't trapped since the 70s. Like, Jesus.
He knows a little bit about everything. I just... I love talking to Joe. He's just a wealth of information, and he'll be the first one to admit I don't know much about that. But
yeah,
you know, this is what I know and how I tell you life stories about it. And he's just very, it's just nice to sit around and chat with him.
Right.
Things he comes up with are pretty amazing. But he'll be the first one to admit, I don't know that much about that.
And, right.
And, I'll tell you what I do know.
Sure, that's good.
But anyway, the first flower in the spring that around this neck of the woods, I wrote a book called Magic Up Nature's Sleeve, a children's book. It hasn't been published and printed yet. And it's about the first flowers in the spring to the last flowers we get in actually late autumn, early winter. Depends on what kind of, frost we get in the fall. But anyway, it's mostly all about when I was growing up on the farm in New Kinks and all the flowers and trumpet vines and all that stuff I saw out in the woods that, I never really... I had generic names for all of them, but I really never knew the character names. And so I wrote this book, and it's a 30-page book, and I just wanted to talk about the different flowers. But the first one in the spring that we'll see along the roadsides mostly, they look like miniature dandelions. They're called coltsfoot. And most flowers, I'd say 90% of them, they get the leaves and then the flowers come. 10% of our flowers get the flower first, and then after the flower goes to seed, then the leaves come. Coltsfoot's one of them. And coltsfoot is good for any kind of respiratory thing. And it's amazing how nature sets that up. The first flower in the spring is good for, allergies and stuff. I harvest the flowers, and I have coltsfoot flower tea in the morning, with my breakfast. And it actually, every spring I always got a dry cough. My dad and I always had hay fever. We were raised on the farm and always had kind of allergies in the spring and in the fall. So I have my coltsfoot flower tea, and it just strips it all away. I mean, it's amazing stuff. And the coltsfoot flower season is over. There's a few you might find straggling here and there, but, about a month ago is when you should have been picking them and drying them. And, every year I pick a year's supply and dry them and put them in jars. And, I'll have coltsfoot flower tea probably for another couple of weeks. And, when the leaves are all on, I'll switch to a marigold flower tea because that's different. But there are a lot of flowers you can eat or have in tea and, put in your salads. Nature is always pretty amazed. I'm amazed by most of what I see in nature and the way it takes care of the people and the animals that are surrounded by it. And the animals, because they have to survive off it, know a lot more about it than we do, because 98% of the population goes to the store and buys their food, and 2% of us, we try to go out in the forest and grow our own and harvest stuff from the forest. What I like about stuff coming out of the wild is that you don't have to weed it, and it just grows. You don't have to plant it, you don't have to pamper it and all that, and you just go out and you harvest it. And in most instances, that is even hard enough. I mean, right now, ramps and all that are going, and, it takes a lot of time to harvest stuff off the forest floor and go out into the woods. And, I'm just now kind of getting into mushrooms a little bit. But the flowers, I have flower tea every day all year long, whether it's marigold or Dame's Rocket. I mean, there's another flower that comes later on. But, I'm kind of going to go over the flowers. The first one is a coltsfoot. When that is over, that comes up. You see them pushing up through the snow, actually. And Then there's the white flower. A lot of people know this one. It's a snowdrop. And that basically comes, and it's when you see snowdrops, you know the seasons are changing. And it's three white blooms that bow down, tucked below a collar of emerald green. And they're beautiful. And then the Solomon seal flower. That's another, it's a small, delicate white bell-shaped flower lined on an arch stem above a dark green leaves 4 to 5 inches tall. And then there's a winter aconite. And that's an elfin-sized buttercup. And when you see these little clusters of yellow, they look just like a buttercup. But they're very low to the ground, and they come very early in the spring. And it's just so nice to see all these things popping up. And, you know, most of the ones I just talked about, the flowers are gone by now, and now we have other ones that are coming up. But, you know, this whole story is based on me taking my grandchildren and three of their friends up to the cabin, and I give them a sheet of blooms that we'd be looking for during the season that we're up there. And when they go out and find them, they can look on their sheet and they can identify them. So it was fun to read this book, and it was fun to write. And I learned a lot more about flowers than I realized. When I was growing up on the farm, these are all the flowers that, you know, I saw when I was running through the pastures and going in the meadows and, you know, in the hay fields and all that. I knew what by sight what they were, but I never really learned their names. And when I wrote this book, I learned to identify, you know, different flowers that I never knew the names of. Yeah. I just knew them, and, you know, just comfortable to see them. And a certain time of year, they all come up. And, you know, you can go in the woods in the spring, and it looks bare and vacant. And you go by a couple weeks later, a month later, and, you know, the ground warms up, and all these things start kicking into gear and coming up. And you got the fiddlebacks and the skunk cabbage. And most of these flowers are edible. If you just, you know, I would Google it and study it before you go out and just start eating stuff. Some flowers and plants are lethal certain times of the year. So you want to be careful about what time of the year you pick them and how you prepare them. And, you know, they're very healthy for you, but you got to follow the protocol or it just isn't going to work. And, you know, I eat dandelions and plantain in the spring. I put them in my salads, but you can't, that's another thing too. You can't just go out and pick them off your lawn and throw them in your salad. I make my own apple cider vinegar, and I bring them in, I put them in a colander, I spritz them with apple cider vinegar, and then, you know, like 5 minutes later, rinse them off. And what that does is it kills all the bacteria that might have, you know, if a mouse ran over, you know, something, or a bird landed on it,
right.
You know, you just got to be careful of that kind of stuff. And but, you know, you can sterilize stuff with apple cider vinegar.
Hey, John, you got a favorite flower or what?
My favorite perlite flower, I saw it the other day, squirrel corn.
Squirrel corn?
Oh, yeah. You ever see squirrel corn, Gary?
I'm not familiar with squirrel
corn. Oh, shoot. You might, if you like squirrel corn, then you got to like Dutchman's Breeches.
It's cousin, right? It's yeah. Close second.
Yeah. You know, the upside down pantalones.
Yeah. Well, squirrel corn can be mistaken at a glance. It looks similar. But you find you find them in sugar bushes.
Yeah.
Shang patches
and your leek patches, ramps. That's where you're going to be looking for squirrel corn.
Nice.
What's your favorite flower?
I'd say it's the flower that grows around, usually it's not noticed, even though it's huge, at 50 feet or 80 feet or even 100 feet on a yellow poplar tree in the magnolia family.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good tree. I see it. You know where you see it? if you're crossing the bridge over Traver Hollow on 28A in West Shokan, and you're really high when you cross that bridge, and there's some yellow poplar growing down below, and the canopies or crowns will be only 40 feet above you at that point.
Yeah.
And then you'll notice them. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is Flowers from Summer to Fall with Gary Mead.
Hello, Mrs. Johnson, you self-righteous woman, Sunday school teacher, what brings you out slumming? Do you reckon the preacher would approve where you are? Standing here visiting with a backsliding Christian in a neighborhood bar. Well, yes, that's my bottle, and yes, that's my glass. And I see your eyeballing this pretty young lass. It ain't none of your business, but yes, she's with me. And we don't need no sermon, you self-righteous woman, just let us be. The Lord knows I'm drinking.
The Lord knows I'm drinking.
And running around.
And running around.
And he don't need your loud mouth informing the town. The Lord knows I'm sinning.
The Lord knows I'm sinning.
And sinning. Goodbye, Mrs. Johnson, you self-righteous biddy. I don't need your preaching, and I don't need your pity. So go back to whatever you hypocrites do. And when I talk to heaven, be nice and I'll put in a good word for you. The Lord knows I'm drinking.
The Lord knows I'm drinking.
And running around.
And running around.
And he don't need your loud mouth informing the town. The Lord knows I'm sinning.
The Lord knows I'm sinning.
And sinning.
All right, you're just tuning in. You're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic. Tonight's topic is Flowers from Summer to Fall with Gary Mead. So what flowers next, Gary?
I guess we went over the skunk cabbage and fiddlebacks. And we...
So fiddlebacks, is that technically a flower, though? I think that's just a new growth.
It's a young fern.
Yeah.
It's a new growth, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfolding frond.
Right.
Yeah. Nice. In the book, I threw some leeks in there and some fiddlebacks, and mostly because, you know, I'm trying to educate the children about what's edible off the landscape. So what we do is we harvest some fiddlebacks and some of the leeks, and then we have them with our dinner that night, and I show them how to prepare them and cook them in the right sequence so that, and the fiddlebacks are very short. That's only, I got like a 2-week window for those.
Yeah.
When they get up to, and they start opening up, you really don't want to take them at that point. And the smaller they are, the sweeter they are. When they get a little bit bigger, they start tasting a little more bitterness to them. And then we're going,
Speaking of eating flowers, we're talking about before the radio show, but black locust is another one I think very worth eating.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in the pea family, that tree.
In the pea plant family?
Yeah, I believe so. It's a nitrogen fixer. It actually fixes nitrogen like most peas do.
Yeah.
Even though it's a tree that's extremely dense, that one of the densest hardwoods there is in the forest. And it's got that long string of flowers, but they're very edible, and they're damn good. They're worth picking.
They smell so good.
Yeah.
You just eat them raw?
We do have groves of black locust, and you know, actually on 30 going out through Minekill and out through that way. I mean, they're all along the highway there, and in the summertime on a nice warm day like today, the black locusts are just kind of getting leaves on them now. So
28's full of them from Boyceville to Phoenicia.
Flowers?
Not yet.
Oh yeah,
I haven't noticed that.
They come later.
Yeah.
But the fragrance they give off, and you know, I heard a lot of different beekeepers will put their beehives in a locust grove when they're
some
flowering.
Of the most fragrant flowers are American plum.
American plum.
There's one member. He's in West Shokan, and he's got a yard that's full of these American plums, and they are very fragrant, beautiful. And the deer don't eat them because they got thorn-like little branches.
Hmm. And they prick them.
Yeah, they're prickly.
Yeah.
Although the deer at my house, they eat them. So, just goes to show you, these things are rules of thumb, and depending on how hungry your deer herd is, beware. Right? Spruce. Yeah. They're eating spruce now.
Yeah, they're eating spruce. Now, what about honey locust? Is it the same as black locust for the flower? Do you know?
I don't know that, because I don't see enough honey locust.
Yeah, I know. You see them on more
I saw
city
honey
streets
locust.
And stuff.
First time I recognized honey locust was at that camp up by Winnisook. What's the name?
Winnisook.
No, it's at that
Frost
camp.
Valley?
Frost Valley.
Yeah.
We were driving up to there, and black locusts have white flowers. The honey locusts have...
Oh, yeah, they're planted right in the campus there.
Pinkish
the honey
red flowers. Because I saw the flowers, and I had to stop and investigate the tree, and I said, man, that's a black locust. I thought it's a locust tree, but this must be the honey locust.
Yeah.
And so I went and I looked it up, and sure enough, the honey locusts have a pink flower. And I've never sawed one, so I don't know the difference in the lumber quality or the density of it. And, you know, right now I just picked out some black locust today, some kiln dried stuff for a 1930s truck bed that I'm redoing for somebody. And the old truck bed was white oak. But I said, you know, I got some black locust. You want to try throwing that in? And they said, sure. And so I picked some of that out today. And that's like iron, that wood. It's amazing. It's and it lasts a long time outside. Okay, back to, and there's so many trees that flower, too. I mean, we're not even going to scratch the surface tonight.
Just go over the ones you really like.
The jewel weed, a lot of people know that. They, for minor burns and mosquito bites, they grow in wet areas right along the river.
Yeah.
And they have that little orange drooping flower. And if you just break a stem of that, you know, because every spring up to camp, you know, that's growing along the river, and you know, one of the grandchildren get a bug bite.
That'll grow with thimbleberry.
With thimbleberry?
Thimbleberry.
Thimbleberry.
You know thimbleberry. It grows right by your mill. On the side of the bank there, red raspberry thing that's really fragile. If you even look at it, it breaks apart. But that thing is the weirdest plant. It flowers throughout the summer.
Yeah.
And some fruit and others are flowering. It's a weird little guy. Thimbleberry. Tastes like vanilla and raspberry.
Yeah.
It'll never be in the stores because if you touch it wrong, it breaks apart. So it's purely something to be enjoyed by just picking it.
Well, the jewel weed, when they go to seed, we always used to like to touch them because they pop. Did you ever do that?
Yeah.
And they explode. Like, and I mean, when they were going to seed, we'd spend you know, half the day walking up downstream, Plattekiller stream, and looking for the ones that were ripe. And you touch them and they pop, and we got excited about that. Anyway.
Touch me nuts.
Yep.
Anyhow. But then, you know, there's swamp milkweed, too, that comes. And, I mean, that's all over the mountains here, but that's in more of a wet area. And it grows pretty close to the stream.
You know what's flowering right now in the woods? Probably our most remote flower that there is in the Catskill Mountains.
What?
You know what it is. Hobble bush.
I was going to say, I mean, trout lilies are past. That's what I was thinking of.
Witch hobble.
Witch hobble, yeah.
Yeah, they flower, and they taste like raisins, the fruit.
Yeah.
But they're flowering right now. It's like a cluster of flowers, like in a circle, and then on the inside are these smaller like flowers. They're really pretty. But they only find them in the high elevations for the most part, like to trip you up while you're hunting for the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for the one deer up there.
Yeah, exactly. I walked through a patch of them going to one of my spots.
Old Mountain Paws himself. He's probably bedding in there right now.
Could be.
Oh, yeah.
That's waiting cool, for you. It's a cool spot on a day like today. He's probably there.
Anyway, digress.
And then there's a blue-eyed grass. You're familiar with that?
Nope.
That grows, and it's kind of a wetland, but it's not as close to the stream as the swamp milkweed or the jewelweed. But it grows pretty tall, and it's got these beautiful little, tiny little flowers on it that are just, if you look at monarch butterflies, they land on them quite a bit. One we forgot this early spring was a crocus. I mean, we have a lot of crocuses that pop up here and there, and they're a very strong smelling flower. They got a real good fragrance to them, but you know, out in the wild, they're not prominent, but they're patchy. And mostly, what I see out in the wild are they call them grape hyacinth, where they have this. They're short to the ground, and they have like a cone head of a shape, and they're only come in one color, purple. But, you know, the ones that are around your house and you buy the bulbs for, they come in all different colors.
You know what tree I wish was more around here? You see it down the line more where I live, but, and I know there's hardy versions of it, is redbud. I mean, that is a pretty tree. You're seeing them flowering right now, right? Purple flowers with no leaves on it at all.
Yeah.
I can't recommend that tree enough. I think the redbud's a good one. I should probably plant one myself in my yard. But
yeah, I was down at Max's last week over in Accord, and I saw a couple of them over in there that were...
They catch your attention.
Just beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. Seen that and the magnolia trees that are down there, too. Yeah. They're past now, the magnolias.
Yeah, they're pretty much over now, yeah.
So
then,
what else you got?
There's a cinnamon fern, and it looks like cinnamon sticks. And in the middle of, you know, this is after the fern grows, and then up out coming out of the fern is and it's classified as a flower.
They get really big?
They get maybe 2 foot, 18 inches to 2 foot.
Yeah, I think my kids call them dinosaur plants or whatever. They make them feel like they're in a jungle, but I don't know my ferns. I forgot all that.
Yeah.
Do you remember, John? You fern guy?
The ones, the very rounded lobes to them.
They look like a cinnamon stick.
I don't know.
Well, I know what Gary's talking about. Cinnamon fern. It's got a big long frond.
Yeah, yeah.
Spreading out.
That might be it.
Yeah, something they see in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Well, hummingbirds.
Yeah. Or ostrich fern.
Exactly. Could be ostrich fern.
They're similar.
Could be that one.
Hummingbirds harvest the fiber from that cinnamon looking stick for their nests.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so soft. And that's an interesting fact. And so, and then there's wild thyme. Which,
oh, yeah.
That stuff is...
I got a lot of that in my yard.
Yeah, you can roll on it in your yard if you want.
It grows everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, It likes it dry.
Only in the dry spots.
Yeah. It won't take anything wet at all.
Yeah.
But in the summertime, it's started now, but when it flowers and, on a real hot day and you go into a field of it, once a year I just go and I put a blanket down in it and I just lay there and breathe. That's yoga exercise you can do.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome. But, I use it for cooking, too. I cut the... I don't cut it when it's young. I cut it when it's older. It seems to have more... more body to it when you cut it when it's in the flower stage.
Yeah.
And, right now, it's maybe over by you. I haven't seen much over on this side.
I have not noticed it flowering yet, but then again,
Doesn't usually flower around... Mostly it's around the 4th of July. Of July, you see that. It's peaking by then.
Okay.
And, it just covers. Right now there's, and this kind of part of what I put in the book is that a lot of things just kind of hibernate underneath the soil until the weather's just right. Then they pop up.
Yeah.
And that's why we have such a variety of flowers, because where something was growing a month ago, that's gone. Something else is growing up in its place.
Yeah.
And
the blueberries are flowering.
The blueberries.
Right now, where I am.
Yeah, mine are flowering. Just started.
Yeah. Pretty neat. My service berries, hopefully they grow. I don't know. These things are slow growing, man.
They flower early.
Yeah. They already flower. But I have cultivated ones growing. I don't know. They don't like this wet weather, man. Where they're from is Saskatchewan, where it's, like, dry.
Yeah. Well, it hadn't been that wet in the last week or so.
No, it hasn't.
That's actually dry right
now. You need perfect conditions to have good serviceberry fruit.
Yeah.
Between the birds and the wet weather, they always get mimosis. They get mummified, like the fruit.
Yeah.
That's some of the best-tasting fruit, though, if you can find it ripe. It's very rare.
Yeah, I'm, looking to harvest a lot more different things this year than in the past, because I have jars full of stuff in the house, and I'll keep it for a year, and if next season comes in, I'll throw the stale ones out and put the new stuff in a jar, and it's just my grandchildren come over and I'll make tea and all this stuff for them, and it's all stuff that we harvest off the land. And I remember last winter, Max brought his kids over. They're, 4 and 5, 4 and 6. And Max says, "Come on, boys, I'm going to take you down in Grandpa's root cellar."
Yeah.
And I, push comes to shove, shit hits the fan, I can survive at least a year without leaving my house. And that's no bull crap. That's just
wouldn't advertise that. Someone's going to be...
better have bullets, Gary.
Well, anyway, I have lots.
Gary's house is that.
I have a gun in a backhoe. So
I don't know what you're talking about, Gary.
No, but, it's a lot of work to harvest that stuff. A lot of people tell me that. Oh, if it, we have a problem, I'm coming to your house. Well,
trust me, we don't want those problems.
But I try to keep a year ahead on about everything I do. Yeah. And, learning about more flowers and the flowers on trees, basswood flowers. If you have basswood around by you, there's a couple of them on Southside Road, and they don't grow in groves, but I know when they, that there's 30, 40 trees in a grove, beekeepers will put their hives out for make basswood flowers, honey as well. That's another edible flower. And the ash, when the leaf first comes on, that's a good leaf to eat.
Yeah, they're just starting to bud out.
They're just starting to bud out. And, right now, the poplars are finishing with their catkins, and all that, white stuff you see floating around the air is from them. And I have two.
That's the male flowers.
Yeah. And I have two cottonwoods at my mill, and they're just starting to...
Cottonwoods?
Cottonwood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Huh.
What'd you plant them? Are they growing?
I didn't plant them. There's a couple along the river, you know, between Freshtown and the car wash.
Really?
And I think some seeds must have blew in. These trees are only, like, maybe 12 years old, 15 at best.
They are one of the fastest growing tree.
And I mowed the field down there, and I saw two little sprouts started, and they were about 10 feet apart, and now they're 40 feet tall.
Yeah.
30 to 40 foot tall, and wow. they're growing, and they're so healthy, and but they look like a pair of twins. They're both the same size, the same diameter, and...
They're a crazy tree.
I could never, where... You know, along a lot of city streets up in Albany, I know there was a whole going to the park when I was bringing my grandson. It looked like snow on the ground. It was so heavy with them because both sides of the street, there were 7,500 trees on the way to the park.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just like, looked like snow. There was so much of it.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is flowers from summer to fall. With Gary Mead.
So it couldn't be no, but try as hard as I might do. I don't know why you get to me in a way I can't describe. Words mean so little when you look up and smile. I don't care what people say to me, I'm more than a child. Oh, Claire.
You're just tuning in, listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic. Every third Wednesday, we talk to Mr. Mead, Mr. Gary Mead, about a different forest-related topic, and tonight's topic is flowers from summer to fall.
Well, there's a wild bergamot, and that's a pink to lavender petals, dark green vein leaves with deep purple stems, and bees and butterflies actually love all flowers. So I haven't... seen a flower yet that the bee or butterfly doesn't like, but some more are prominent to to go to because they have a higher nectar value. And
yeah, like I said, that horse chestnut was loaded with bees.
Yeah.
That whole tree was humming.
Yeah.
And there's flowers out. Like I told you, there's a lot of other flowers. I didn't see one around the azalea, but they were going nuts off that horse chestnut.
Yeah, it's right in the peak of when it's putting out the most nourishment, and they're taking that for all it's worth. And I had a bee. I have these swarms of bees at my mill, and I brought I caught one today and showed Ryan and John when they come to the house. I thought it may have been them wacky things from Africa, or killer bees or whatever, but you know, it's like a bumblebee with a black butt, and come to find out they're a borer bee, which I've seen the tiny little borer bees, but
carpenter bees. You better look after your inventory down there at the mill.
Well, yeah, right.
Yeah,
it's a bad omen, Gary.
I'm not sure if
it's a bad thing.
I don't know
what they're boring into, but you got a lot of wood there.
Yeah, I know, but
it could be anything, really.
Yeah,
they must make a big hole.
Yeah, I think so.
I could imagine. I mean, they're
that's huge. My wife. She's killed a bunch of them. So
they're big as a bumblebee, but you know, I'm going to have to take them out. I can't have them. Yesterday there were maybe a dozen. Today there must have been a couple of hundred.
We had someone on our radio show. There are a ton of native bees that people don't realize.
I listen to that show, and there's like 200 and some native bees, which I didn't know. And
a lot of people don't even realize honeybees aren't even native to North America. I mean, you know,
they all pollinate.
And some things aren't even pollinated by bees. Like I have three pawpaw trees. They finally flowered this year. By the way, the pawpaw flower is ugly as hell, despite it having a cool
fruit.
You know, southern, like, tropical kind of fruit that's out of this world. The flower is like, it looks like something's dead on it. You walk up to it, you're like, is that dead? Oh, it's a flower. Jesus. It's like hanging down, like maroon color.
And it doesn't smell good.
No, it doesn't. But it's pollinated by beetles and ants, I believe.
Yeah.
Not by...
Yeah, I've heard insects and, you know, certain insects pollinate as well.
There's flowers out there that smell like rotting carcasses because they attract flies.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Couldn't tell you which one it is, but I've learned about it.
There you go. Yeah, But honeybees get all the credit, man.
Yeah.
They're stealing all the other thunder from these pollinators.
Well, they're more manageable.
Yeah.
The honeybees. I think that's why. And they're
multi-purpose.
They make a byproduct.
Right.
I mean, Joe, he got paid to go out in the Schoharie and he put his hives around to pollinate.
Yeah.
And he got paid to pollinate. He said the honey I get off is just cream of the crop, basically. He said, they pay me to put my hive. And I never realized that until he told me that a couple of years ago.
Hey, I mean, if that's one thing that has been brought over from the old world to the new.
Yep.
One of the two best things I would say is honeybees and apple trees.
Honeybees and apple trees.
Hell yeah.
That sounds like a country western song.
Probably should be. Well, it's got to have something to do with
trees,
rain and
sitting
trucks.
Sitting around my baby in a tree.
As,
trains and trucks.
As David Allan Coe would say. Then it would be a country song.
Yeah.
Everyone
but there
that.
Are, enjoy the flowers. Dandelions, I'm telling you, they are... there something about humans and dandelions. Somebody along the way, 40 years ago, made dandelions some kind of an enemy. And, you know,
that's how I feel about invasive species.
I just can't. I just don't understand it. They're so healthy for you.
Yeah.
And they're so good. And right now you can go out in the sun when the sun's on them and they're warm. Just pick a flower and eat it. It's sweet.
They're supposed to be one of the best wild edibles for you, aren't they?
Well, I got my year's supply already. The flowers are amazing. The strength they have to reproduce, you can't stop it. Because I love eating the flowers, and you can't keep them.
Right, so why not just go with it?
Because I dried flowers. Other flowers, I dry them, I put them in a jar, and they stay. I dried, like 4 years ago, I dried some dandelion flowers, and a month later, the jar was white. They all went to seed. So I said, I'll fix you guys. So I picked some more. I dried them. And I put a little more heat to them that time. And dried them a little better. I put them in the freezer. 3 months later, went down and they had all gone to seed in the freezer. And I said,
get out of here.
I'm not kidding you.
And they all turned on. Is this Immaculate Conception, man?
I just don't get it. I mean, they have a strong sense of survival. We're not getting rid of dandelions, so put your Roundup away.
That's what I'm saying about invasive. Sometimes, you know, people want to just kill them. You know, they got to have a reason to kill them. And dandelions, there's no reason to kill them, I don't think. I don't know.
No,
why would farmers not like dandelions? Is there a reason behind it in their hay? Is it not good for,
no, farmers,
for hay or something?
Farmers never dislike them. It's
homeowners. Oh, okay.
That around, they don't like a dandelion in their green lawn.
But I've known farm families who don't like them too.
I've never heard of a farm family.
They're so dense in hay fields. It's probably just the volume, right?
On, you know,
if
on the
it's
way
not,
that,
not as palatable, they're going to be taking the place of something that could be, right?
Right.
You know, on County Route 6 on the way to Bovina, there's a field over there that it's right now it is yellow with dandelions. I mean, it's solid. It must be a 10-acre, 11-acre field. And it's just solid yellow.
Yeah, I was listening to this guy.
And it's high in, you know, when they cut the hay, June cut hay, they get a lot of the leaves in them, and that's what makes the hay so good for
apparently cattle. It can indicate compacted soils, but by sending down a root, this guy was claiming it actually helps that over time.
Well, the dandelion root saw
breaks it up,
breaks the soil up and lets it breathe again. So I mean, I never heard of a farmer that didn't like dandelions. But
oh yeah, well, the first time I ever heard that was from this woman who grew up in a big farm, used to do cauliflower in the area. She hated them.
Huh.
It's like really hated the dandelions. And I was like, I've never heard anyone hating dandelions, but
yeah. I don't know. Could it change the flavor of the dairy?
Could, I guess. I have no idea.
No, I
don't look like a dairy farmer to you?
Nope.
Gary, what? You've never heard that? You grew up on a dairy farm.
Never heard
no,
of
we always we welcome the dandelions flowers and and other flowers that grew in the hay. We chopped them up and, you know, put them right in with the hay. I have a poem to read.
Okay, yeah, we got 5 minutes.
Time, but anyway, this is I've read this before. I wrote this 4/19/2014 at 4 a.m. And I was having a sleepless night, and I got up and I wrote this, and I fell asleep for 2 hours. It felt like I slept for 8. But anyway, it's called 10 Fish. I closed my eyes to go to sleep, was a bit restless, so I tried counting sheep, saw barns, silos, tractors, and wagons, saw airplanes, tanks, heard sirens of warning, thought of many blue, beautiful songs. My mind was not fixed on one thing at all. Saw mountains, rivers, waterfalls, faces of people, fat, skinny, short, and tall. Many tree species went through my thoughts. Thought of love, peace, anger, and hate. Saw the oceans sending waves to the shores. Sandy and rocky beaches kept me in awe. Thought of the story of Noah and the ark. Saw miles of mammals and birds all in a row. Thought of life after death, heaven and hell. Saw the clouds, blue skies, sun and the moon. Felt the power of sleet, hail, thunder, and rain. Heard a noise, and I heard silence at the same time. Thought of money, bankers, stocks, and bonds. Saw the colors of people in a rainbow shape. Imagine that freedom really is free. Saw millions of numbers floating on strings. Many miles of roads, country and city streets. Thought of friends, enemies, smiles, frowns. Had a vision of the earth from outer space. And the last thing I remember as I fell asleep, there were 10 fish on the ceiling all talking to me. And that's my poem for the night. And like I said, I guess that's just a lot of stuff I had on my mind that night. And, you know, I just, 4 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't sleep. So I wrote this, and I got up around 6:37 and felt like I slept all night. And I kind of read this back, and I might have edited it a little bit, but I said, man, that was pretty good for doing in a coma. So, you know, study flowers out there, folks. I mean, we've got so many different varieties through the summer. And, you know, get a little book and just walk around and look at and just enjoy them. They're so wonderful. And they and the trees that are flowering now, too. I mean, Ryan gave us a list of trees here. Eastern redbud, flowering dogwood, serviceberry, Causa dogwood, horse chestnut, magnolia, crabapple, ornamental pear, tulip poplar, black locust, flowering cherry, American elm, azalea. All these...
American plum, yeah.
All these, when they flower, just take notice and you know, study them a little bit and just sit under them and enjoy, you know, nature, because it's very... I guess that's the only word that comes to mind. Disheartening that so many people don't take advantage of so many things that just right outside your door. And, you know, we run around, we hustle and we bustle, and we get so busy that we forget to stop and smell the flowers. And, you know, that's an old saying that goes way back. I mean, you got to stop and smell the flowers. And so that's kind of basically, you know, we had such a wonderful... so far this year, we've had the best flower season I've seen in a long time. And right now, the apple trees, I mean, just driving down the highway with your window down, all these different fragrances come in. You know, all winter, you know, there's not much to smell out there. It's pretty stagnant. And you know, the air is fresh and clean, but it's right now we have all these beautiful fragrances to enjoy. And you know, just take notice and, you know, keep your eyes on the road. We don't want people crashing their cars smelling the flowers. But, well, hey, it's and the lilacs are just coming on this side of the hill.
Oh,
so
yeah, they're starting to go where I am.
There.
That's all the time we have on From the Forest. And if you missed it, tonight's show is Flowers from Summer to Fall with Gary Mead. And see you next week.
Good night, everyone.
His eyes were red, his hopes were dead, and the wine was running low. And the old man came home from the forest. His tears fell on the sidewalk as he stumbled in the street. A dozen faces stopped to stare, but no one stopped to speak. For his castle was a hallway, and the bottle was his friend. And the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase, the old man made his way. His ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay. And he wondered how it happened that he'd end up this way, getting lost like a fool in the forest. And as he lay there sleeping, a vision did appear. Upon his mantle shining, the face of one so dear, who'd loved him in the springtime of a long forgotten year. Flowers did bloom in the forest. She touched his grizzled fingers and she called him by his name. And then he heard the joyful sound of children at their games in an old house on a hillside in some forgotten town.